It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
There are positions on the offensive line I think they do need to address, where specifically I think they need to address. Everybody's talking about McKibbitz, right? You've got to upgrade right tackle. I can't get my mind off the center. Thinking about a good center in this offense, and Alex Mack, who's been in Kyle Shanahan's offense, and Weston Richburg. And I want to go over kind of what the Niners have done in the offensive line since Shanahan got here. Have they invested enough? Draft picks, free agents, trades. What have they done? What have the trends been? This is where my mind is spinning with right now, because it looks to me like Shanahan is completely content to run it back with the same five if he needs to. That's sort of, at least for this year, that's sort of what they're set up to do. You have Williams, you have Banks, you have Brendel, you have Feliciano, who he's been talking a lot of, you know, good shit about. And then you have McKibbitz, who just signed an extension. So I think he's like, all right, we can run it back with these guys, unless somebody we love, BPA, is there in the first round or whatever. So what have they done, Brian, since they got here? What have the trends been? So if you look at each position, and I guess 2017 is kind of tough because that was the first year, you know, they were kind of retooling and figuring stuff out. But you go into 2018, what was the big move that they made? Weston Richburg. So they signed him to a five-year, $47 million deal. Now, that didn't really work out because he got injured. He played a couple years. He had 28 games in 2018, 2019. But when you look at the trend with center for them, Daniel Kilgore played in the original season in 2017. He was serviceable. He's a serviceable dude. And then Shanahan says, okay, I need my Alex Mack. Not that what Richburg is Alex Mack, but I need my guy. I need my center. So I'm going to go out. We're going to sign Weston Richburg. But he had injury issues. He wasn't there that long. We had to go through 2020, which was Ben Garland, Jonas Grassu, and Dan Brunskill in that crazy 2020 COVID year. But then they get Alex Mack for a year. It was the last year of his career, but they did go out and get him again. You know, he's a big name dude. But then the last two seasons, they've gone with Jake Brendel, who's been serviceable. He's a serviceable guy. But Brendel's 33. Brendel does not make a lot of money. I think if they got rid of him, it's like a $2,000 dead cap hit or $2 million.
$2 million. dead cap
hit. Wish it was 2000. Not much. So I'm kind of wondering this year, we're thinking about tackle. But is maybe center the position they're going to go for early? That's kind of where my mind is right now.
Yeah, you know, this team, it feel like Kyle Shanahan has had a reputation, and the reputation is this: I need two good tackles, and I need a center, and I will pull a guy off the street for guard if I need to, but that's where I'm going to invest my money, or resources, I should say. And that really played out the first, I would say, five seasons of this tenure, right? Because, like you said, they invest heavily in center with Weston Richburg, and Richburg played well, and center is an important position in this offense, because specifically in Kyle Shanahan's offense, the protection calls are the responsibility of the center. They do not fall on the quarterback. And that is a philosophy that Shanahan has that I don't think he's ever going to change. In his mind, he wants his quarterback not to have to worry about protection so that he can just kind of go out there and play a little bit more free and loose in terms of, you know, not having too much on his plate. And I thought it was interesting. Rich Madrid, who is a staple on 49ers Twitter, actually kind of posted about this today, where he was pointing out that in this Shanahan offense, but in the McVay tree of it, right? So Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, right? They have backed off that center calls the protections and have put a little bit more on the plate of the quarterback. And Rich has pointed out how there have been some advantages for those quarterbacks. And he was using a clip from Jordan Love against the Cowboys in the playoffs, where Love recognized a blitz and so he used his cadence to identify who the rusher was going to be, and in so doing got a little bit more information and was able to throw a touchdown against the Cowboys. And Rich was pointing out that that's something that the McVay side of the Shanahan tree does. They put a little bit more responsibility on the quarterback. I don't think Shanahan is interested in that. I think he wants to continue to have his center be the one who's making the protection calls in this offense, which makes center arguably the second most important position on the line behind, you would say, left tackle, because left tackle is always important because it protects your quarterback's blind side. And so, you know, they invest in Richburg and he plays well, but then he has that horrific injury and it really just derails the rest of his career. And then they eventually got Alex Mack, but it was at the end of his career. So he played one good season and then he was gone, right? And so Brendel has been the, you know, besides Richburg, the longest tenured center under the Kyle Shanahan regime. And it just certainly feels like it's not necessarily a matter of him being one of the better centers in the league, but rather just Shanahan is comfortable with him. And so is Chris Forster, who is the offensive line coach. Forster worked with Brendel in Miami. He's the one that brought him over. And so it, like I said, it just seems like a marriage of, you know, it works, right? Like
convenience.
It's convenience. There it is. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. And so I don't know. It's interesting to me. Like, we've seen them spend money on center. Would they spend a first round pick on a center? I don't know. Callie Young in the chat says, if Jackson Powers Johnson falls, do we select him? I mean, I think he'd be incredible. I couldn't tell you whether or not they would, because we've never seen it, right? We haven't seen them address center in the first or the second round, right? The highest interior offensive lineman they've ever drafted is Aaron Banks, and he's acquitted himself, but he's not a superstar by any stretch of the imagination.
He may not get a second contract.
Yeah, and he may not, unless it's a team-friendly deal. But I mean, at the same time, we saw what happened to the guard market in free agency this year, and it went absolutely bananas. So, you know, it might not be somebody that they bring back just because they're like, we're not going to pay what, I mean, look, right. They let Laken Tomlinson go, right? Because they didn't want to pay what Laken Tomlinson wanted. And now Laken Tomlinson's deal looks like a steal, right? Not from play, just from the contract itself. Especially considering that, like we said earlier, a couple episodes ago, Robert Hunt got $100 million.
That's so insane what he got.
Insanity. So I think it's important, but it just seems like Kyle Shanahan believes that he is smart enough to scheme around an average offensive line. And so he doesn't want to waste valuable assets on the offensive line and would rather spend that money and those resources elsewhere, because he believes that he is the rising tide that lifts all boats. Right. And he can scheme around it, but we've seen in the Super Bowl, it's not working. So it's scary.
I'd like to see them. We mentioned the interior offensive line. Banks may not be back since last year of his deal. And then you have a 33-year-old Brendel and a 32-year-old Feliciano pretty much year to year. I'd like to see them invest in like a center that's going to be with Brock for a long time and build that interior because he's a smaller quarterback and, you know, like build how they did with Drew Brees type thing. But you brought up the guards, Brian. So looking at this too, left guard, there's not a lot of a sample size because they traded for Laken Tomlinson. He played, I think it was 5 years, and then they went to Aaron Banks, who they drafted in the second round. So they've kind of had two guys there. So have they invested in that position? Well, they made a really good trade for Tomlinson. And then they did invest. They invested in Aaron Banks. The second round pick is absolutely a fucking investment, right? I mean, they did.
Oh, big time.
But on the right side, I'm convinced, again, if you and I suited up and showed up to training camp, we'd have a shot anyway. 2017, you know, inherited, but Brandon Fusco, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. 2018, Mike Person. 2020-21, Daniel Brunskill. 2022, Spencer Burford and Brunskill. They rotated. And 2023 was Burford and Feliciano. Yep. Just dudes. And just I'm a big Daniel Brunskill. I like Daniel Brunskill. Can play everywhere. Good, you know, good player.
Aaron Donald's father.
Yeah, it did great against Donald. I really, but at the end of the day, have they invested in the right guard position? Kind of absolutely fucking not. It's kind of just been in kind of, you know, random dudes. And you made the argument, again, there are numerous plays that happen that cause you to lose a game. But you look at the Chris Jones batted pass against Mike Person. You look at the play in overtime this past Super Bowl with Burford missing the block. That position that they've kind of put duct tape on and been like, whatever, you could argue has cost them 2 Super Bowls.
Absolutely.
So do you want to maybe invest a higher draft pick? I want to talk about the draft picks they've done in the O-line soon, but it's a fair argument for the inside.